I'm sure you've experienced this, that whenever you uproot something and leave it apart from where it was planted, it dies. You don't have to be one with a green thumb to know that, correct? It's not the way it's supposed to be. When you uproot something that had and was gaining life and growing from the soil and the minerals and the nutrients of the soil and the watering and the sunlight, and you put it in a place where it's not supposed to be, it's not good. It's also not good if you allow weeds to grow in that garden, correct? To choke out the life that could be there for that root and that plant or that flower or whatever you will. The same is true in the Christian life as well. And I'm sure we all have witnessed this sadly. I've been a pastor in pastoral ministry. Next month will be 20 years. And, well, that's, I appreciate that, but and over those 20 years, I have witnessed many who were one-time faithful believers, and I know you have as well, have their lives demolished by sin. Have you? And we all have horror stories like that. Sometimes they were even once faithful pastors who have disqualified themselves from the ministry because of sin. Or they've strayed away from the Word. They've strayed away from sound doctrine and the Word of God and what's true and orthodox. We've seen other Bible-believing Christians who start out really well theologically, but then wind up on a path that leads to much doctrinal error. And so we need to be careful because we're all prone to this, are we not? We're all prone to this. No one is immune in this room from not finishing well, right? The way to guarantee that you will finish well is not that you start well, but that you continue well. Continue well. That's the key. Because there will be ups and downs. There will be days where you don't even feel like you're a Christian. Amen? Monday mornings, for pastors at least. You wake up, you know, I don't even feel saved. I kid, but this is Paul's concern in Colossians chapter 2. He is concerned for these believers because there is a heresy creeping up in this church which is deceiving and tricking many of these believers who had once started well, but now because of false teaching are not continuing well. And some of them are being taken back into the world. This is what he says in verse 8. He says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." See to it that no one takes you captive. The word captive there is commonly used of the plundering of cargo from a ship. It's a pirate term. Paul calls these false teachers that were invading the Colossian church, he calls them pirates, in a sense, by using this word. They're like plundering the Colossian believers who were full of the riches of Jesus Christ with doctrinal teaching from Epaphras. Epaphras was the man who began the church, and now have allowed themselves to grow amongst them these weeds of false teachers. And the false teachers sound really good. They sound really convincing. They sound so close to the truth. And this is what Paul says that. And in verse 8, and I know we're going to go back to verses 5 and 6 and 7, so don't worry. I'm starting with verse 8 because this is the point of why he says 5, 6, and 7. See to it that no one takes you captive. Don't let yourself be raided by pirates. These false teachers, they're going to come in here, and how are they going to take you captive? By their philosophy. This word philosophy means it's a love of wisdom. It's not an academic wisdom, but it's one that philosophizes life about the meanings of this and that and the other and all sorts of nuance and chaos in the end that deceives people. And Paul actually calls the philosophy of these false teachers and says that it's empty deceit. It's empty. You know, it's like someone in my small group, I forget who it is now, talked about cotton candy on Monday night. Cotton candy looks really good, doesn't it? And it tastes really good for half a second, right? And there's no substance to it. You put it in your mouth, and the moment it tastes, it hits your tongue, it dissolves. It's empty. It doesn't leave you satisfied and full. And if you have too much, you get a stomachache, right? I mean, this is what the philosophy, this false teaching of the Colossian heretics were bringing. They were trying to invade the church by their wisdom, and they were sounding like scholars. But in the end, their wisdom was nothing but lies filled with nothing. It didn't grow Christians. As a matter of fact, it deceived them into thinking they had to do more for God than God had required. Later on in chapter 2, we'll get there eventually, we see that some of these philosophies and desires are the invasion of worship of angels and asceticism, which is basically punishing yourself so that you will appear more godly and other people will praise you. Those are some of the things that they were doing, that you had to eat certain foods and observe certain rituals and go attend certain festivals. And if you didn't do that, and like all the good Jews did, then you were in big trouble. Here Paul says that they were doing this, their philosophy and empty seat, they were doing this according to what? Human tradition. They had no godly authority to teach these things or to say these things, but according to the elemental spirits of the world, they were raiding the church with their heresy, promising much but leaving people empty, claiming some kind of authority, but it was only the authority of man and not of God. And a lot of it was inspired by the elemental spirits of the world, which could be one of two things. The philosophies that these false teachers were teaching were inspired by demons, or that the basic fundamental ways of the unbelieving world and how they lived. And so basically what these teachers were saying were no different what Gentiles and unbelievers were doing. And so Paul says, be careful who you allow in and who teaches you and who leads you astray, because they will rob you like pirates. And not according to Christ. That's Paul's point in Colossians. What's the name of this sermon series? Say it again. Him. Again, Paul repeatedly brings us back to him. These false teachers want to include everything but Jesus. You be careful that they lead you astray and rob you. If they're not preaching Christ, as he tells Titus, shut them up. He tells Titus in chapter 1 of the circumcision party, they must be silenced. That's how Paul feels about it. And so, let's go back to verse 5. Well, verse 6 one time. Let's go to verse 6, and then we'll go to 5. I know, I'm really confusing here, right? Verse 8, verse 6, verse 5. Actually, we're just going to look at the first word in verse 6 for now. What is it? Therefore. Therefore. This word in the Bible, whenever you come to it, you have to understand that this word comes in the middle of two truths. And so how you understand what Paul's point here depends on where the therefore is at. For example, I don't want you to get wet today. Therefore, please take your umbrella. Does that make sense? Two truths. I don't want you to get wet. Take your umbrella. Therefore, here's what's true. So therefore, do this. Or, I want you to be well rested tomorrow. Therefore, go to bed early. Okay? And so Paul says in verse 6, therefore. Well, before we see what therefore is, let's see what leads to the therefore. Remember, Paul has not met them yet. He plans on it. But look at verse 5, because this is where truth 1 is found that leads us to the therefore, which then leads us to don't be robbed by pirates. And you know what I mean by pirates, right? Captain Jack Sparrow did not exist back then by these false teachers. He says in verse 5 that he was rejoicing to see their good order. He is absent in body. He's with them in spirit. But he's rejoicing to see your good order in the firmness of your faith in Christ. So Paul says, I'm not with you. I've never met you. But one day I hope to meet you. And one day when I do meet you, I will hope that I will find this to be true of you. What is that? That I will find your faith to be in good order, and that your faith would be firm. Look at that. Brandon, put up that verse on the screen. That your faith would be in good order, and that your faith would be firm. These are important words. We introduced it a little bit last week, but both of these words are actually military terms. Paul says, I want you to see your faith in good order. This word is a military term that refers to the arranging of an army for battle. You think of a well-disciplined army and how they all stand at attention, right? And they all march to the same beat. You can see they're in good order. They're disciplined. That's what Paul, when I come, I want to make sure that you guys are all marching to the tune of King Jesus. That's what he's saying. I want to see that your faith is right. That you're ready to fight against sin, and that you're ready to stand against false teachers, and that you're still believing the things that you first learned. Because remember, it's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. And you can't finish unless you continue well. So this is what Paul is saying. When I come, I want to find you in good order. Also, he says the word firmness. This word firmness is also kind of another military term. It stands for the stability, the support of the organization. But more so, even like a foundation of a building. A foundation of a building. You find that a building is based on a foundation. It has a slab, a cornerstone. And everything rides and builds upon that foundation. If the foundation is not good, then the rest of the building is not good. Remember, you can start a building, right? But you have to continue building the building. You have to have that solid foundation first to be well established, well grounded. If not, the end product of the building is going to be a mess. Again, this is what Paul wants to see. I've never met you, but when I do see you, this is what I want to see. What? Good order of your faith and the firmness and stability of your faith. And now verse 6, he says, therefore. Okay. Therefore what, Paul? Because I want to see your faith in good order and your faith stable and firm and solid, how do we do that? How do we make sure that that happens when you come? This is where the therefore comes in. There, I don't want you to get wet today. Therefore, take an umbrella. Right? I want to see you in good order and well established. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, he says, so walk in him. So walk in him. This is what Paul says. How do you ensure that you're not robbed by the pirates of the false teachers and that you start well? Well, how do you start? This is what he says. As you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk on him. So Paul asked them a question. How did you receive the Lord? How does anybody receive the Lord? How? Yell it out. By faith. That's how you started this journey. You had faith in what? You had faith that Jesus Christ is God, and that he's Lord, and that he's Savior, and that he came to this world to live the life that you and I couldn't live. He obeyed all of God's laws. And then he died on a cross. Why? Because he died as a substitute for our sins. And although I am deserving to face God for the penalty of all of my sinful actions, Jesus Christ stood up in my place and said, I'll take the beating for him. I'll take the punishment for him and her. I'll do it. And by faith, I believe Jesus did that for me. And now I've become born again. That's what it means to receive Christ Jesus the Lord. It's by faith. That's how you got in this. And that's so important. Why? Because the false teachers are coming in and saying what? If you want to continue, you've got to worship angels. And you've got to eat certain things. And you've got to be circumcised. And you've got to make people feel sorry for you so that you look more godly. What are these false teachers trying to do? They're adding burdens upon people, aren't they? Like Pharisees did. They're adding rules and regulations. And you know what that happens? Those are all weeds in a garden that choke the life out of a Christian. And they lead you astray. And they get you off of what truly matters, which is Christ and Christ alone. Amen? That is the point. So the first thing Paul says, if I'm going to find you in good order and your faith firm, then you have to go back to the beginning and think, how do I live this Christian life? The same way I began it. I received Christ by faith, and now I must continue by faith and faith alone. Not added work so that God can love me more. Not added rules and regulations to keep myself in check to make sure that I'm still going to enter the pearly gates when I die. No, it's by faith alone, not by works. Don't let those pirates rob you. Add extra burdens to your faith. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, he says, walk in him. Walk in him. This is a unique word. So how do we walk? By faith. By faith. This word actually also kind of defines what Paul says in the beginning. It's also a military type of word. It's a word that really can be translated as life as well. So Paul is not worried about your style when you walk, you know, that you strut your stuff a certain way. You know what I mean? You look cooler, or you look angry, or you fit in with a certain crowd because you strut a certain way. That's not what Paul is talking about there. What Paul is talking about is your lifestyle in Christ. As you receive Jesus to be a Christian, you must continue by faith in believing that Christ is all you need. In other words, this. You and I never graduate from Jesus. As I received him, so I continue in him. There is no graduation day for the Christian that says, oh, good. Thank you, Jesus, for getting me in the door. Now I could really experience the things of God. See, that's what the false teachers are trying to do. That's what those Colossian heretics were trying to do with the worship of angels and everything else. Oh no. The way you grow more godly is to have more Jesus. It's a military term that refers to the raging of an army in battle. They are ready to fight against sin and stand against false teachers. So how do we daily walk in Him? How do we do this by faith? What are the ways that God has prescribed for this to happen? Because the false teachers obviously had their list. Well, there is no list. But there are disciplines in the Scriptures that help us in order to make this a reality in our lives. There are ways, there are graces that God has bestowed upon us to help us continue in Christ, to continue walking in Christ. And what are those things? Prayer. How do you stay grounded and close to God? You pray. We're talking about this now as we, those of us who are reading this book on prayer. Prayer is having a conversation with God. How do you get to know somebody else? You talk with them. How do you get closer to God? You talk with Him. The same way that you grow closer to other people. In the Christian life, you talk to God in prayer, and God speaks to you through His Word. And you hear and you listen, and it's sweet. The Holy Spirit leads you and guides you. How do you continue in Christ? How do you walk in Him? You do so by faith. The second way is that you read and study your Bible. You get in the Word. This is how you're going to grow. This is how you're going to continue. And I will testify to you that the driest moments of my spiritual life, of my life, period, the times where I found myself to be in a rut, the times that I found myself to be apathetic and pathetic, is when I've realized that Dan hasn't been in the Word. That I have not opened my Bibles to feast upon God and to personally worship Him and to love Him. I've done it out of duty, not out of delight. This is how we are to continue in Him. You cannot be a growing Christian who is growing closer to God unless you're praying and in your Word and in the Word. What a blessing and gifts that God has given to us. You cannot continue to walk in Christ if you're not worshiping Christ, if you're not connected and committed to a local church where you are with other believers walking the same path to nudge you along and pat you on the back and to kick you in the behind when you need it, right? That's how you walk closer to Christ and walk in Christ. The fellowship, the serving, the sharing, the being in the Word, to be reminded that I am a child of God. And it's not because of my merit or works of righteousness, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. That's who I am. And there's no rules and regulations that anybody can add to me that will teach me and make me different otherwise. So Paul says, as you've started, you must continue. As you have begun the path, you must keep moving forward in that same path. And what is that road called? It's called Him. It's called Him. Walk in Him. That's the journey. That's the directions. That's what your GPS will tell you to go if you want to grow closer to God. So walk in Him. Oh, when I was younger, I was really messed up. Not to say that I'm not messed up now. Why are you laughing at that? Huh? I kid. I was entrapped in all sorts of legalism when I was a young baby Christian. A lot of it was my own doing. There was nobody really heaping rules and regulations upon me except me, myself, and I. And so I felt that I had to perform for God. And I did. And boy, did it leave me empty. Boy, did it leave me deceitful, lying to myself, not realizing that my sanctification, my growth in godliness, my worship and adoration of God does not come from me, although I tried to make it that way. It comes from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ, resting in His love, resting in His gospel, resting in His acceptance of me. I was trying to be approved by God when I was already approved. I was trying to be loved more by God when I was already loved as much as I could ever be loved. And maybe you've fallen down that path. And that is not a good place to be. But Paul says, as you received Him, continue walking in Him. And then he says this, rooted and built up in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. Established in the faith, just as you were taught. Abounding in thanksgiving. Again, the answers to what Paul gives, the therefore, remember? I want to see you, your faith in good order, right? And it's firmly established. So therefore, walk in Him, be rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith. That's the answer. If you do these things, if you focus on Christ and dig deeper into Christ, I'm going to come find you and you're going to be okay. You keep listening to these pirates and you're going to get yourself in all sorts of trouble because they're going to get to lead you to worship all sorts of things and idols and gods and false doctrine. Jesus is our foundation. He is our stability. He is our support. And you cannot grow or continue to grow unless your roots are connected to Him. See, the false teachers were trying to uproot Christ from the church. And Paul is saying, no, 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 no. Christ has to stay central, and you must grow out of Him if you're ever going to live the way God has you and wants you to live. This is exactly what Jesus said, isn't it not? That He is the foundation. He is the bedrock of life. He says this on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. We all know this story. We all have sung this song. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And as the rain fell, and as the floods came, and as the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine does not and not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against it and that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. That's what Paul is saying. You must be rooted and established in Him. You cannot grow any other way. Nothing else will do for a foundation point. Jesus made it very clear. There's two kinds of people. The one who builds their house on the sand and it crumbles when the storms come. And the other who builds his house upon the rock, a solid ground, and builds the house, and the storms come and it stands firm. This is evidence in our lives where our roots are. You do know that, right? You could fake it for a while. You could hide it as long as you can. But eventually where you're rooted and built up from will show. Those storms will come, and that's where the rubber meets the road. Right? And so then you'll have to ask yourselves, well, where was my identity grounded in? Where was my hope founded in? Where was my faith really in? And the answer to a lot of those questions for all of us in here is me and you. We're our own worst enemy when it comes to our stability. We love to find everything we can to put ourselves in control. But Paul says, you cannot do it. You cannot do it. And again, How do we find ourselves in good order? You walk in him. How do we find ourselves firm, Paul, in our faith? Be rooted and built up. So that's why Paul puts that word therefore in the middle. The one answers the other. So that when the false teachers come, they will not be successful. Paul also tells the Ephesians the same thing. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, he says this: until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Again, he says it. Remember, these false teachers are coming, and they're full of charisma. Usually false teachers are full of charisma. Have you noticed that? Right? They put on the smile, right? You see their great big pearly whites. And they have such winsome ways to say things and cute, funny little stories. And what they're feeding you in the end is nothing but a bunch of cotton candy. Paul says, if we're built into him and if we're established and we're in good order, guess what? We will not be tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Have you ever seen the Disney movie Up? Cute little movie, right? Up. It's about an old man who puts balloons on his house and it flies away, remember? You need to see it. Okay, it's really good. Right? In that movie is a dog. Right? Right? Doug. Yeah, that's his name. Doug. And Doug, every time, he'll be talking in mid-sentence. All of a sudden, he'll be distracted by something. Squirrel. Yeah, see? Squirrel. And then he chases after the squirrel. You know, he leaves what he's doing because he finds the squirrel has all of his focus and power and attention. Right? He's not well grounded into what he's focused on or anything. He's squirrel. He's going off chasing things that don't matter. This is what Paul is saying. Here are these false teachers. Here Paul, Epaphras and Paul are saying, Christ, Christ, Christ. And all of a sudden, the false teachers are saying, angels, and you need to do this and this and that. And Jesus is enough. And the Colossians are saying, squirrel. Paul says, when I come, I want to find you in good order and firm and established in the faith. Not running after squirrels. Right? I mean, and we all have our squirrels, don't we? We all have our squirrels. And they could be good squirrels. Here's the point. Not all squirrels are bad. Right? It's just not the bad things that take us away from Christ. Sometimes it's the good things. Right? It could be good things in our life that are healthy and they're great to have. And yes, but a lot of times we're rooted in it or them or this thing or whatever. All of a sudden where our minds are focused, and then the storms come and we're like, whoa, why can't I stand? What's wrong with me? Why am I a mess? I'm falling apart. Well, Jesus isn't wrong. So we must be doing it wrong, right? This is what Paul is saying. How do I get you to stop listening to the false teachers? That's what he's saying. Christ, Christ, Christ. That's it. As you started, continue. That's how you're going to finish well. They're trying to uproot you. Stay your ground. Worship Christ. Don't let them deceive you into anything else. And then you will, as he says, and establish in the faith just as you were taught. Doctrine matters. There's a big movement in the church today that says doctrine doesn't matter. Right? Just give people stories and jokes and they'll keep coming back. And it doesn't. They really don't care what the Bible says. Just keep them good, feely, warm, tushy feelings, whatever. I don't know. Tushy feelings? Did I just say tushy feelings? you know what I'm talking about. Warm and fuzzy feelings. That's what I was trying to say. Warm and fuzzy. All right, there we go. Dilute and delude, that's one of those things, you know. Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. What's Paul saying there? Everything you need for your spiritual life is to be found in Christ and in Christ alone. And you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. Oh, that's the point. That's the point. So don't be taken captive by philosophies and worldly wisdom, and it's all full of empty deceit. It's all cotton candy. The elemental spirits of the world, the human tradition, focus on Christ. Yes. So my question for you today is, how are you continuing in your faith? Is it how you started? By faith, alone in Christ? Because there is nothing better to remind us about this than the Lord's table. It truly is. The Lord's table is a symbol and a reminder for us, whenever we partake, nothing else matters but that broken body and his shed blood. Because that's who I am. And everything that I am today, I am by the grace of God. It's Jesus plus nothing else. And Lord, get me back to where I am focusing on him alone for my faith journey. I'm not going to let the latest fads and Christian theories and market-driven research and politics and anything else that anyone's going to come in and deceive me into thinking is more important. Christ. Christ. Walking in him, rooted and built up in him. Christ. This is what this table reminds us of. Lord, humble us, help us to know these things. If there is anything in our lives, God, and I know there is, that is taking us astray, leading us astray, causing us to lose our focus on Christ for this life and journey, take it out of our hearts, take it out of our minds, help us to repent from it. To get back to the way we started, by faith alone, walking with God. God, help us and guard us from false teachers, from false doctrine that easily can creep up into the church and poison us all. And let somebody with enough courage and enough bravery stand up and say, no, Christ is all that matters. For in him all the deity of God is rest in him, and it fills us. He's all we need. Help us, God, as we remember you, as we remember Christ through this Lord's table. In Jesus' name, amen. If the deacons would join me at the front. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and have shown that by your baptism, we encourage you to join with us as we remember the Lord's table this morning.